This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
Love it. Great return.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Final hour of the show. It's the 1 o'clock hour, which means we will be giving away another four-pack of tickets to the Bun B Birthday Bonanza at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. I was about to say, what date is this? Is the Bun B show again? Do you remember?
The 7th.
That sounds right, actually. I'll double check on that, but
you know, March 7th.
March 7th. There you go.
So four pack.
Four pack of them things to see Bun B's Birthday Bonanza. I believe we know is going to be
you got
Coco Jones, yep, Keith Sweat,
Coco,
Jagged Edge.
Yep, Jagged Edge.
Okay, those are the confirmed guests as of right now.
Seemed like a little R&B party.
Yeah, kind of R&B vibe. So four pack of tickets all the way through the day, mind you, to the Bun B Birthday Bash. Your next chance will happen in this hour. And we were just talking about I got a little bit of the odds for Vladimir Guerrero's next team. Mm-hmm. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I feel like I just got to say that every time because I don't think anybody's like, oh.
You really do have to put respect on his dad's name.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think anybody's like, oh, his dad is still playing. Yeah. You understand.
A lot of respect
It's a big difference.
Yeah.
But a few people on the text line doing the good work, reminding us of things. One, Vladdy came up as a third baseman. So maybe you would end up moving him. I'm not sure if that's really the move. I think you maybe move around him. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that you would have to consider is, hey, man, you'd have to trade something to give Vladdy, and I don't think that you're in a place to trade prospects, and I definitely wouldn't want you to trade, like, Cam Smith and Bryce Matthews. Like, that kind of defeats the purpose of the runway that you're trying to, you know, continue and extend a little bit. Mm-hmm. So would that be like a Paredes going out?
See, that's the thing. It's already been floated a little bit, hasn't it?
I don't think you would do Christian Walker. That'd be wild.
No, I don't think you could possibly do Christian Walker. First base is so crucial. Big bat, you know,
I mean,
all that.
You'd be getting a first base with a big bat.
Well, yeah, but I mean, while you're not wrong, Paredes has already been, kind of floated. Like, hey, during the whole Bregman stuff, maybe you could just flip him. So maybe that's coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
So, but yeah, those are the things that I wanted to make sure that we cleaned up about that. All right. Your All-Star or your NBA report card as of the All-Star break. A little bit more of a break here. I think there's Rockets will be back practicing. I think it's reasonable to expect them tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And they'll be back playing on Friday versus the Timberwolves to get the second half of the season going. But, milestones give you an opportunity to reflect. And the All-Star break, and you have a break like this, gives you an opportunity to look back. I think at the halfway point, we're pretty high on this team. They've gone through a little bit of a tough stretch. So I'm interested in what your grade is for this Rockets team. Kicks Rocks on the YouTube says A- for the Rockets. Even after a rough patch before All-Star, they're exceeding expectations. I believe they're sitting. Are they still fourth? Because I think that they were fourth.
They were fourth.
Yeah, I think they're still fourth. Yeah, Lakers are right behind them at fifth.
That's right. So that is fair. Like, just making the playoffs was the expectation. Now they're currently sitting in a place where if the season were to end today, they would have a home court advantage in the first round. I think that is fair. What say you, John Lopez?
I think A-, while that's a great grade, I think it might be a little low. I mean, if we go back to what
little
we were,
low.
What we were expecting, I'd say it's an A. I'm not going to say A+, you know, because they had the little slide there toward the end of the first half of the season. I mean, what were we expecting from this team? You know, little progress.
I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah, maybe.
Be the fourth best team in the West.
Yeah, maybe find something from Jalen. I mean, we had the conversation, I remember very vividly, a conversation with B. Scott. About, well, you know, just get better than the play-in game. You know, just get to the bottom sure. of the bottom of the playoff bracket, and that would be a successful year. Man, they're in the thick of things.
Yeah, and they beat pretty much all of the best teams in the league right now.
No, this is a beyond all expectations kind of first half of the season. Now, that said, I was telling Reggie, talking with Reggie before the show, I really feel like it's hugely important that they open the second half with a bang. You know, 6 out of 8, you know, 7 out of 10, something along that those lines, because you could see it wasn't just like they looked tired and they were sort of indifferent, and Ime Udoka was getting very frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
You could just see that it was settling in, like they were not the same team. Now, maybe it was just tired. Maybe it was, you know, Udoka needed to sort of, recalibrate things and get guys started again. Maybe it was the injuries, you know, and those things are going to start to change. Well, all those things are, that's not an excuse anymore. You know, you've had a 5-6 day break. You're going to come back. You're going to get guys healthy. I really feel like if they don't get off to a good start, then that sort of doubt, that sort of uncertainty might just creep back in.
Yeah, and it feels like it is plausible that they get off to a strong start. Here's a few of the games coming out of the break. I mentioned Friday they'll have the Timberwolves to host them at the Toyota Center, which is nice. So you're also not mm-hmm. cutting into that break at all with travel necessarily.
Yeah.
Then you'll get the Jazz in Utah on Saturday on the second night of a back-to-back. That's a little tough having to travel then after that. After a late game on a Friday, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get the Bucks back at home on Tuesday. They'll get the Spurs on the second night of a back-to-back. But both of those are at home, which is nice. And then after that, you get the Kings. Not too crazy. And then on the first night, a front side of a back-to-back, you'll get the Thunder. And then you get like that. That's another one of those tough teams. But like there's some winnable games coming out of the break. How about this? And this is Kelly Eco of The Athletic who gives you this blurb. Houston Rockets, B- from The Athletic. After hitting the ground running, Houston has been a rough watch the last 2 weeks, 23rd in offense and 19th in defense. The Rockets' fourth quarter struggles were their 23rd in net rating in the period and in clutch. So in fourth quarter and in clutch, they're 23rd mm-hmm. in net rating. They continue to haunt them and could cost them. They only just climbed out of a 6-game slump by beating the banged up Raptors. True. Still an exciting, aggressive team that has a great shot at securing home court advantage in the first round, but it is in serious need of a vibes boost and needs more than a returning Jabari Smith Jr. and Fred VanVleet for a tight stretch run in the West. That is per Kelly Eco, covers the team for The Athletic. And he gets to one of the things where I probably go towards a B, mm-hmm. maybe a B+ still, because you're right about the expectations. But one of the things about it is Ime Udoka as a coach is a dude who has a very strong identity that he wants for this team. And he rides his guys hard because he wants them to live to that. And I think that's one of the things you really like about him as a coach. The tough thing about it is, felt like they did a lot of abandoning of their identity as they've had to move around. Like the defense, and you remember, I was kind of cognizant of it earlier. I was like, hey, this defense is kind of slipping, and it got really poor, mm-hmm. as you heard him there, right? Over the past 2 weeks, 19th in defense, where this was a top 5 defense for a strong period of time. Like that, it was to the point where we're looking at them like, yo, defense is carrying this thing. And they were knocking down threes a little bit better, but then the defense really, really faltered.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels like, yes, you have some guys that are, you know, that you were missing, and maybe fatigue sets in, but you should not fall that far in your capabilities defensively in, you know, as a team of a certain caliber, which, I mean, look, you're on the early end of trying to find a contention window.
Yeah.
And this was part of the idea of this season and not making moves. You want to get a feel for what this team is. But I'm not going to lie. I would be lying if I said that I wasn't a little disappointed that they weren't able to kind of find some stability in
mm-hmm.
the defense is the things that we know that we can do.
But
offense,
also,
we know we have some things that we need to find, but the defense is the thing that we know that we can do if we're sticking with the plan and if we're staying attentive to mm-hmm. to detail and those things. And they did falter in that. down the stretch, and that gave me a little disappointment, but I can't ignore all the good things.
But you also can't ignore the significant injuries that affect the defense. You know, Jabari and others.
And Fred.
And just having Fred. Yeah, just having Fred Van Vliet around. I'm not saying you're wrong. What I'm saying is you got to get those guys back, and you got to start quickly and be able to sustain. I think a lot of it is like you would think players that get old, I mean, that get tired are older, the grind gets to them. I think young players are affected just as much, if not more, because these are things that they have not had intense games for a prolonged period of time at this level with grown-ass men, and nobody's feeling sorry for them. It's like, oh, poor Rockets. Right. I'm just saying, I think it's a real thing. When, you know, young teams they hit walls, you know, because they've never really gone through it. And I think that's a factor in the defense and the injuries.
Yeah, but I can't not pay attention to that. And I appreciate YouTube. Kicks Rock says lots of recency bias in that take. Yeah, but also like this has been a month in the making. Like this isn't just hey, this was a couple of weeks. I think that slump absolutely hit. But over the last month, even where we were giving them a lot of praise, and I think that I was trying to, and maybe I didn't balance this enough, trying to make sure they're doing some great things. But also the way that this team is made up when it comes to the way they get things done was shifting in that month of January. And you saw that shift to a point where it became detrimental.
Yeah.
And that's a fourth of the season thus far where you talk about you start in October, November, December. And then you have the whole of January where you had some good things happening. Don't get me wrong. But you also had some downward trends that ultimately then, kind of took a toll. I think those are the parts that you have to be cognizant of. But all things considered, still a very good, proverbial first half of the season, even though it's not a half of the season. And I think it makes it very clear what the goal is for the final stretch run of the season, which, thankfully enough, it seems like you're getting some of those guys back. You mentioned returning from injury. Hey, man, Jabari Smith Jr. is supposed to be able to return. Hopefully, there's kind of hoping that
maybe
he can play
now.
On Friday.
Yeah.
And then Fred Van Vliet, sooner rather than later, I think within that stretch of a few games that we're talking about. Of course, I don't think I have anything concrete, but we'll get more information on that in the next few days, I imagine. But yeah, man, like this Rockets team, still, I mean, whether it's as low as B- as Kelly has it, you have it as what, like an
A?
A. I have it like a B+ in trying to be kind of managing all these things. Still pretty solid from the Rockets here.
No, very solid. And when they come back, you know, they still have some shortcomings and they still have some big questions to ask. And that's part of why I think if they get off to a good start answering some of these questions, specifically, you know, we all knew and know that how important Fred Van Vliet is to this squad. But boy, it's looking like he's like extremely important to this squad. So there's a shortcoming there. There's a gap there.
But these are the lessons that you were looking to learn, right? You're learning more about how you want to build this team and how you want to bring this team together. And one of the things that we're going to have a conversation about in the immediate sense is what does this lineup look like? Because rotation-wise, you're also still figuring that out. And with the slump that happened, like maybe it is just fatigue or maybe you are missing certain players in a way that you did not think you would. And Fred and Jabari, and I guess maybe that's not fair to say and not in a way that you think you would, but in a way that's probably outsized. That then you have to consider, like, then do we need to shape this thing in a different way outside of just getting these guys a little bit of rest?
And who's going to start?
The fatigue. Who's going to start? Who's going to get a majority of minutes? Those types of things, I think, are questions that need to be asked for this team. But we'll get a feel for that as we keep going. Again, they'll be back in action on Friday. And we'll get an opportunity to talk to Spo tomorrow on his thoughts on some of these things.
And he'll have his ear to the ground on some of the things that are going to happen perhaps by Friday in terms of getting some of these guys back. I mean, a man, clearly, you can't take him off out of the starting lineup. But what do you do? How do you manage, you know, Dylan Brooks, who's actually had some moments here lately? But certainly you would rather have Smith Jr., you know, in the post.
So earlier we were talking about, well, there's a few things happening. Earlier we were talking about the foods. I think that came through at Confessions, like the foods that, you know, you used to eat that maybe you don't eat anymore. Somebody said, every blue moon, I'll do the creamy chicken ramen and drain the soup, add butter, throwback. So there's a lot of people who are like doing their throwbacks. I think Patrick Creighton of Area 45 was texting and tweeting at us about, hey, man, PB&J's.
Oh, my gosh. Uncrustables, baby.
But I feel PB&J is just a dip. It's outside of that bounds of like the things that I'm just like, yo, I can't do those anymore. PB&J can be elevated. You know what I mean? Like, it's comfortable, but it can be elevated. I don't know that you could really, well, I guess you can in some ways, but I don't know if it's necessarily worthwhile elevating like the ramen that you get for like 99 cents.
Yeah, but, you know, I agree with you, but the Uncrustables, that's a relatively new thing that that people see and love. Uncrustables is the best golf bag snack on the planet.
Mm.
You freeze them.
Yep.
Throw a couple in your golf bag.
Especially in the Texas heat. Ooh, by the time you get to it, it's probably just a nice temperature.
It's the best. Absolutely the best.
I'm a weirdo, though. The times that I golf, I don't have a snack on the course.
Two Uncrustables. Take you through the whole day.
I'm just like, hey, man, we're getting some Gatorades, and we'll make it through. Worth noting, shout out to Joe Mixon, who has won his appeal, that $25,000 fine for criticizing officials after the game.
How about that?
You good on that, dog. Don't even worry about that. We got you.
They had it rescinded.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, look, it's good to
know.
It's good to know that at least they're...
This shouldn't have happened.
The league is willing to acknowledge their mistakes and go through the process and rescind it. Salute to Joe Mixon getting to hold on to his 25 grand after that debacle, let's be honest. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is about the time where we handed off to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us, dog?
Yeah, man, we got to pour one out for a legend. I'll let you know who it was. I want to put Reggie to the test. If Reggie did a little test, I know you got another one coming up over something you nerd over. And I ran across a new show, and it got me thinking how we should try something during this segment.
All right.
Okay. There's a lot of things up in the air. I would like to learn about them, and we will. Next.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Fig's in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. And we got to give a special rest in peace to a legend, somebody we was talking about snacks and all that stuff we grew up on and we still love to this day. Francesco Rivella, the founder of Nutella, he passed away at the age of 97.
Oh man,
Francesco Rivella, that's fun to say. First of all,
good run, good run, right? First and foremost,
97 is a hell of a run.
What a great invention too.
Nutella, come on. That is the real deal. That is the real
deal. You are a legend in these streets, man.
Oh, so I'm going to have to be that guy then?
You don't like it?
I'm good on it.
Really?
I'm good on Nutella. Mm-hmm. I'm all right with it. That's fine. Y'all can have it. I'm glad that you enjoy it. I don't need it.
It's awesome. Even just on bread. I'll get a piece of toast, put a little Nutella on there.
Now
I prefer, you know, Mexican cajeta.
I bet you do.
Okay.
Which is very similar, but Nutella is a good second choice.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Somebody said I've never had Nutella and don't want to. Yeah, I don't know. You know what? If I'm going to be completely honest, this might be some of that contrarian to me, because there was a point in time where people wouldn't shut the hell up about Nutella. You remember that? It was probably like a solid decade ago where everybody was just like, Nutella, Nutella. And I was like, guys, come on.
I ain't have it until I was a grown man, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't grow up to it. I know some kids that did grow up to it, but I never had it until I was a grown man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. It's fine.
But yeah, rest in peace.
Legend.
This is weird. This is probably weird to say, but I feel like, man, like if I get to age 97, I want to get to 100. I would be pissed off if I died at like 97.
At 97? That's too young.
Yeah. Like, just imagine how old Betty felt.
Yeah.
When she passed away at 99.
99, Betty White.
Oh, she was like a couple weeks away. Was it a couple weeks away? Like 100. I would have been up in heaven.
You really that worried about the triple digit?
God said, you got jokes? I got jokes.
Like, come on, man. Like, you could let me get the triple digits.
I got jokes, too.
That's like back in the day when you watching the NBA and your team only get 99. Mm-hmm. It's like, you could have got 100 for the free tacos or whatever.
I wanted the free smoothie,
That's the one that you really needed.
Yeah, let me get the triple digits. But,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, rest in peace to that legend.
Yeah, but
man,
what happens if them last 7 years in 97 was rough ones, boy? Like, that's the thing. That's the only thing about when you get up there. You might not be worried about that next three. You just like, hey, man, this has been a fight.
And you can kind of tell, especially with the older people, where they just like, man,
I'm ready.
I'm ready to chill.
They're like, I'm ready.
Yeah, hey, you ain't got to keep me here. I'm good.
But it's always it's always real dope when you see the people that are like 95 and they're kicking.
They're walking on long walks.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're just like, hey, man, I'm good. I can go to 125 if we're feeling like it.
Yeah, man, but rest in peace to him, man. So this is where I kind of want to put Reggie to the test.
Oh, here we go.
The one thing you
y'all keep downing me, man.
Hey, man,
keep coming through. What's up?
So the one thing you nerd out about is the arena names, right?
Mm-hmm. I do.
So I don't know if you've seen this, but the Cleveland Cavaliers, where do they play?
Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
That is no more.
Oh, okay, they changed
their name.
Gotta learn a new one.
Yeah. So the name of their new arena is Rocket Arena.
Oh, that's going to be easy.
These dorks.
Yeah.
Dan Gilbert. I'm so annoyed by him.
Why are they doing that? That's going to be.
I have
first
no
of all,
idea.
Does Houston play there? And secondly, why? It's Rocket Mortgage.
Well, I was coming around the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. I kind of like the Fieldhouse.
So it's the same company that's held the naming rights all this time.
Since Quicken Loans
and everything. Yeah. But they changed the name to match with like their offerings, the public forward face. It's like when Reliant changed to NRG. Mm-hmm. It's really the same company, is it not?
I don't remember exactly, but I think that's
kind of
right.
Just the forward facing portion of what they're doing in the public.
They probably related to it. They probably related to that name too.
No, absolutely.
But Rocket Arena?
I think that they're changing their offerings to like just they're shortening it to Rocket, which I'm like, good luck with that particular branding. But Rocket Arena, huh?
They should have kept the Fieldhouse. I kind of like the Fieldhouse.
Right?
I don't want regular arena.
Always a big fan of Fieldhouse.
Yeah. So do you remember that? So this is the fourth name change they had since they've been in that building.
No. Because I don't remember what it was before the queue.
This was easy. Who was the owner of it before they sold it to Dan Gilbert?
And that I really should know this. And for some reason, my brain is not giving me
Gun Arena. Oh, remember Gun Arena?
I don't. I'm gonna be honest. I didn't have that one.
You might have been a little too young for that one.
Yeah, that one's just beyond.
Yeah,
me.
I got that one.
Yeah. So he eventually sold it to Dan Gilbert, and then that's when they changed it to Quicken Loans and all that stuff. But here's another test.
Oh man, I thought that was the one.
Nah, this ain't it.
All right.
I want you to name all of the names of the arenas that the Rockets played in.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I think
so.
Obviously, you have the Rockets.
You have Toyota Center right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then before they moved to Toyota Center, they were at what was then called Compaq?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Arena.
Yep.
Before that, it was the Summit.
Mm-hmm.
Did it have another name in that iteration? I think it had one more.
You're missing at least one, maybe. No, you're missing two.
Yeah. I know they were at Hoffman's Arena, Pavilion, rather, on the campus of U of H.
Yeah.
And then you're going to try and get me on where they played in San Diego.
I got that one. I know that one.
I'm sorry, dog. I was not alive. What was that, 69?
Keep in mind, I watched.
67, something like that?
I grew up watching
like
the
69.
ABA.
Like 69, yeah.
You ready?
Yep.
I think I got it. Pechanga?
Nope.
It was Pechanga Arena.
No, it wasn't.
It apparently was San Diego Sports Arena.
That was after Pechanga. Pechanga was the ABA.
All right, if you say so.
Hey, I'm about to say.
Yeah, go ahead and Google it. Go ahead and look it up.
Because that was also fun.
Now you know how I felt when you were telling me that the damn name of the Jaguars Arena Stadium was not Everbank. I was like, what do you mean? Yeah, shout out to 713. Also got Hoffman's Pavilion. Very good.
That building was
the Summit. It only had those two names. I'm trying to remember if there was one more because now I'm just in my head. I was like, I think it was just Compaq, right? Like, we didn't have...
San Diego Rockets, 1967 to 1971, Pechanga Arena.
Well, the list I had started at 69, which was the San Diego Sports Arena.
Yeah. Look at that. I know my ABA history.
No, it's just Summit and Compaq Center. All right, very good.
Oh, wow. You want a little... I didn't even know this. You want a little Houston Rockets trivia?
Sure. Why not?
They played one full season in San Antonio at Hemisphere Arena.
Did not know that.
I guess they were building from Hoffman's to to the summit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's weird.
Solid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. You did pretty good on this test. So remember, it's Rocket Arena now.
Yeah, but that's not where the Rockets play. That's in Cleveland.
Rocket Arena. We throwing everybody off with that. So I ran across this show, and I'm saying new show because technically it's a new show, but it's more of a rebrand. So I ran across a show on A&E called WWE LFG, mm-hmm. which means Legends and Future Greats.
That's not how I knew it.
So I know. Yeah, but this is pretty much the replacement for NXT.
Gotcha.
So if you're familiar with NXT, kind of like the, I would say the D League or the G
League. Development League or whatever.
Yeah, for wrestling, which is pretty good. I heard good things about that. So it's a part of the show where...
I know Sean Pendergast somewhere on the elliptical like, yeah!
Yeah. He might like this segment coming up. But it's a part of the show where each competitor have to cut a promo. And so here's a guy by the name of Jasper Troy who stepped in the ring in front of Booker T., The Undertaker, Bubba Ray Dudley, and more.
Is this like an audition?
Well, it's their development, right? Yeah. They're developing. So I had not considered like the idea that they also had to develop their mic personality.
Yeah, you got to have personality.
So it's kind of like an audition. Like
kind of. They're already there, but now they want you to cut promo so you can kind of build that character. And so here is a fella by the name of Jasper Troy.
Next up, Jasper Troy.
Growing up, I was fascinated with this business. Like a sponge, I absorbed any and everything that was WWE. Instead of dreaming about seeing someone on TV like me, I made it a reality. I'm Jasper Troy. I demand my respect. You people better learn quick. This business, it'll be under my thumb.
Mm-hmm. There you. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? That's the one right there. That's the one.
At Booker?
Yeah, that was Booker T. It sounded pretty cool, though, right? It sounded like
pretty good.
He had the right gravitas.
Yeah.
He felt
good. Yeah, no, it sounded good.
Under my thumb.
Yeah, no, it sounded good. But here's another guy by the name of Troy Yearwood. Mm-hmm. This is him cutting a promo, and I want to get y'all reaction to this promo.
I'm feeling a train wreck coming.
When you take a look into my eyes, a glance at me from head to toe, tell me, what do you see? Men to see a physical specimen, a feral beast. You can look in that weight room and see I hold every record we have. But you all get so wrapped up in my physical traits, you don't know it's what you can't see. That's what really sets me apart. I was gifted in body and mind. I am Troy Yearwood, and I am the next big thing in NXT.
Yeah,
what was your thoughts on that? So, if you could critique that.
Okay, so you guys know that I'm very much... you know, superficial WWE fan of all the greats. So I'm comparing him to the greats of behind a mic, and it just doesn't compare. But maybe that's unfair.
Well, I'm not even trying to compare him to the mic. It's just like you could hear somebody and wonder, like, kind of surmise, do they mean what they're saying? Mm. It didn't sound like he felt what he was saying in that moment. And that's the thing is, like, ultimately, I imagine that with any of these things, the idea is just make people feel you.
Believable.
Yeah, make people feel you and believe what you mean. Mm-hmm. And it didn't sound like he believed any of that as he was saying.
I'm glad you said that because here's Booker T and Bubba Ray Dudley reaction and critique on this promo.
I didn't believe it. I mean... I'm from the street, and you carry a certain air about yourself when you're from the street. You could tell by the way a man walk if you want to confront him or not. You talk like you was reading a script. Bubba,
I want to fight you just on general principles.
And I can beat you.
Because I would kick your ass in front of everybody and send you home, and your pro wrestling career would be over. That's how much I do not believe in you. I see this, and then you talk, and I'm like, get the fuck out of my ring.
He needed to hear that.
That's hilarious.
He just needed to hear
You know
that.
What? Just hearing you talk, I want to whip your ass.
I want to fight
be
you.
Be honest. Just being honest. Somebody, some real wrestle fans on the text line, the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, which, by the way,
Hammer.
That'd be a great wrestling name, by the way. But yes, it's apparently a replacement for a Tough Enough show rather than NXT. NXT still exists, so there you go.
Okay.
But yeah, man, go ahead and sign me up. Mm-hmm. I could be a coach, apparently. Me and Booker T are like this, man. We had the same idea. We were in the same place.
I mean, it's hard to tell you apart.
I've often said that.
So here's one more. Here's a lady by the name of Zena Sterling This is her promo and their critique of her promo.
All right, next up is a 20-year-old athlete from the Ukraine. This is Zena Sterling.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me to watch my back. I've looked. There's nothing there. See? Nothing. That was like my third time looking today.
You're going for the ditzy blonde.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Definitely didn't feel like a wrestling promo. I didn't feel it. I didn't buy it. And if I was a fan sitting in the audience, it would have been a good time to go to the bathroom.
Damn. Damn. Book coming with that real tough criticism.
LBJ's in the house.
Yes. What a reference. Yeah, it sounded like Sailor Moon to me. I don't know.
Huh? Yeah, I don't know the type of thing she was going for, but yeah, man, Booker T say he go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of where I kind of want to put y'all on the spot, man.
Okay, oh, all right, Lord, another God, one.
Please, no. I know what you're going to ask.
I want y'all to cut a promo.
I ain't got it on me.
I want y'all to cut a promo on what you do the best here at Sports Radio 610.
Mm-hmm.
Why is John Lopez the best at what he do here at Sports Radio 610?
Yeah. You go first.
What do you mean? My name ain't John Lopez.
He stood up.
There we go.
You don't know where I've been from. You don't know where I come from. You don't know what I've been through. I do, and that's my edge on you, Figgy. You can come at me, you can say, that guy, he's looking like get a little long in the tooth. I'll tell you what I'm long on is experience. Oh, I have been on the streets. I've been in the barrio. I've been on the streets for years, my entire life. I hide it pretty well, but you hit the right buttons, and you're going to feel the streets.
There we go. Like that. All okay. Right. Okay. You next, Reggie? Let's Look, get man. It.
I don't need to tell you about myself. You hear it. You know what time it is. I'm Reginald Atatula. They call me the king of segues. But I don't need to call myself a king. I just do this. I'm great at it. You hear it. You know it. You believe it. Rock with me in Loop. Sports Radio 610.
That was awesome.
I am Reginald Atatula.
I keep picturing you on a segue. Like on a segue. Actually, that'd be pretty cool. Get into the ring on the segue. Go in on that thing.
I mean, there is a wrestler that's out here on like a scooter half the time, ain't it? I don't know.
Yeah.
It might be.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. That's what you got.
Mm-hmm.
What you get?
Not bad. Not bad.
Okay.
Figgy?
You want me to go?
You think you're getting off the hook?
I have a feeling that you already, you at least you thought about it.
We kind of reaching the time limit right now.
No, you're not going to have us out here doing it. You're not doing it yourself.
All right, let me start this over real quick. Here we go. See, people call me the best in the world at what I do.
Oh.
I'm the mother bleeping producer.
Oh, boom man here.
Of In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, the best producer in this city.
Talk your talk.
And people think they could come and run the board like me. I want y'all asses to come back here and see what I do. I will bleep everybody up.
Oh, wow.
When it comes to producing.
Oh, God.
You don't want to go there with me.
I don't. I really don't.
You know why? Because I am the man. I am Boot Man from 123rd.
Oh, boy.
You know what time it is.
Sure do.
That's all I got, man.
I think that's solid. You win.
Oh, you win. Oh, you win.
You get it.
No question. You win.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's all I got, man.
Yeah.
I think it was solid. I think it was very good. And that is Figgy's mixtape. Yes, Figgy did cook us. Say what your chest, Figgy, they said. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Rail 610. That is Figgy's mixtape. You get it every weekday at 1:20 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go ahead and hand it off to the fellas.
Ron and LBJ.
Yeah, apparently so. And also, I would like to return to if you had a time machine and had an opportunity to go back and change anything in Houston sports, what would you change? 713-572-4610. We'll do it next.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, Figgy Fig. It's been a pretty fun Tuesday, not going to lie, all the way through. Appreciation to our guy B. Scott for jumping in with us in the 11 o'clock hour. The Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610.
The Texas Hammer!
For sure. They have weighed in, and they said that, first and foremost, in line with what Booker T said to that one cat, that we, myself and Lopez, provided a mid-segment bathing break, apparently, with our promos.
Oh, man.
But they did come through, and everybody loved the Figgy promo. They said, Figgy, I want you to produce anything and everything. Figgy gave me chills.
Produce it all.
That's right.
Take all my money.
They said, more Randy Savage, Figgy Fig. And then somebody came through with some nicknames for you, the Ayatollah of Boar Control. Yeah, call me Mr. Figueroa. Yeah. Is what they said. So shout out to Figgy, man. You're winning that. And shout out to you if you are calling number 9 right now to win the 4-pack of tickets. You thought
right
I forgot.
Now.
4-pack of tickets to see the Bun B birthday bash March 7th. A birthday bonanza. It's not a bash, it's a bonanza. Call number 9 right now, 713-572-4610. We'll win that 4-pack of tickets to that on March 7th, if my memory serves me correctly. I think we have confirmed that. It is Coco Jones, it's Keith Sweat, it's Jagged Edge all joining Bun B.
Lopez, what you know about Keith Sweat, Coco Jones, and Jagged Edge?
They're good, man. They're good.
I was like, is that it? All right, sure.
They good. They're good. They good.
You know what?
All right.
Technically correct. They all right. Wait, hold on. All right. I did a couple of things. I often do this thing where I kind of throw things in the air and see what happens with them. So we started the show talking about if you had a time machine, what would you go back and change in the history of Houston sports, basically, was the idea. So we got that going. But also, you do remember that I asked about Spays, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who do you think would be the best Spays player?
I would say, now you're asking that question. I know you and Figgy play.
Correct.
Best, I would say, I'll tell you what, a lot of plane rides. A lot of bus rides.
You think Clint got that?
I think Clint Sterner might be the
best. I was like, look, man, yeah. When we talk about car players,
yeah.
I don't know that there are better car players that are not like professional car players than like professional athletes.
A lot of gambling. A
lot of money goes big on them. But I do wonder.
See, I think Seth, while he did the same thing, I think he was more of a reader.
That was my point. I don't know that Seth was necessarily like taking his per diem and putting it on the table in the plane, trying to see what he could come up on.
Yeah.
Clint, however?
Clint would spend all his money, and he doesn't need to read.
So I want
to
find out if he's a Spades player. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm a little split on Sean. Like, I'm not sure Sean's a Spades player.
He's a sports gambler.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That feels like, I don't know. And then Ron, I feel like Ron is supposed to be a Spades player, but I don't think Ron's a Spades player.
Well, he spends all his time in beer pong.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And then B. Scott, I bet, is a damn good Spades player. Like, just...
Yeah, B. Scott. Hey, don't sleep on Tyler Milner.
Really? I'm sorry.
No, don't sleep on him.
I'm sleeping on him. I might be doing this incorrectly.
Yeah.
All right. You hop in the time machine. Go back somewhere in the history of Houston sports. Make a change. I think for you, what was it again for you? What was the big number one for?
Oh, I think it was a no-brainer. 2005 draft, 3 years after David Carr has been the starting quarterback. We knew the answer on David Carr. He was not the guy. He had 35 touchdowns and 46 interceptions. I went and looked it up. You drafted, you put it this way. You could have drafted Aaron Rodgers.
That's right.
And the year before, you drafted Andre Johnson. Aaron Rodgers and Andre Johnson together since 2005, right as they're starting to ramp up and get better players and all that. I mean, we could be talking about a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to continue to recognize the fact that, hey, man, that particular player is very volatile, where it could go really good, but it could also go really, really poorly.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that was clear. From the 832, this one came in a few times. I feel like there's a lot of draft implications that you could switch up, and this one came up a few times. Obviously, Mario Williams was a big-time draft pick, and he did not play here for a long time. So there's people that look up and they go, hey, Reggie Bush would have been a get that year.
Yeah.
And I think also, interestingly enough, because I mentioned this one, because people texted in Vince Young, and you were like, no, I'd rather have Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
But the thing about Vince Young was Vince Young apparently really wanted to play here.
Oh, big time.
Like,
I mean, he was heartbroken.
We've gotten more insight into recently when it comes to like these podcast stuff. And that he thought he was going to. Not just that he wanted to, he thought he was going to. And then things didn't shake out that way. I think it really could have been really interesting if he had played here, because just wanting to be able to play here, or just wanting to be here, I imagine, would have given him more more inspiration to kind of put more into his career than I think he ultimately did.
Nobody wants to hear this, but the Texans got it 100% right, drafting Mario Williams over Reggie or Vince Young. He was a better player. Certainly in the time that they were at the respective teams that drafted him. Mario Williams was here 6 years, two Pro Bowls, 53 sacks. You know, he was the best draft pick the Texans could have come up with in that draft. Nobody wants to hear it because I was a big Reggie Bush guy. Certainly loved what, you know, had they drafted Vince Young, but the right draft pick was Mario Williams.
Yeah, many people mentioning some various things, time machine going back and making sure that Mike Renfro's catch is acknowledged. D-Hop trade comes up a few times, obviously. 618 is on the same page as T-Mill, Tyler Milner, who when we asked this, he immediately went to 2019, Game 7.
Yeah.
Those pitching decisions down the stretch lost you that series, and people are like, hey, man, just go ahead and put Gerrit Cole out there.
Mm-hmm.
Let him finish that thing out for you. Somebody said, for the 713, would change the bad call the refs made in the Oilers game versus the Steelers.
No, you're talking about Mike Renfro?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike Renfro, yeah. I would just have replay. Just go back and say, hey,
yeah, I was like, but we
can do this now.
Yeah, I was like, you'd have to bring back
the
camera.
No, well, they had replay then, but maybe show them the replay.
Because, I mean, they had film or what have you. Let's see. Somebody said draft Drexler for the Rockets instead of Ronnie McRae.
Yeah.
That's their change.
That's a good one because they ended up getting Drexler and winning a title, but yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to the bat phone. This is not the... the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. However,
this is Sean. Texas Hammer!
That's right. This is Sean Pendergast in this instance texting in and saying he decided what his is. He'd go back and sent a bomb threat to every meeting where they were trying to finalize the Rocket uniform change after the second title.
Mm-hmm.
He hates the new uniforms. I do appreciate the boldness. Like, I feel like a lot of the listeners in sending this in, they're like, hey, how can I make a tangible difference in, like, the gameplay?
Yeah.
And Sean is like, this is an eyesore.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back to mustard and ketchup and mustard and never leave them ever again.
Yeah, I don't mind that. And those, I used to call them the Sputnik uniforms. Remember the ones with the stripes?
Oh, yeah, the pinstripes with the...
That wasn't even a NASA rocket. That was like a Russian rocket. I called them the Sputnik uniforms.
Yeah, I have an affinity for that, but that's because I was a very young man in the time where, you know, Franchise and Kato and Mobley and Norris were all in those uniforms. So, like, I have an affinity for them. However, I recognize they're not good.
Exactly.
They are not actually good. And so, yeah. Somebody said Sean is probably a poker beast. That's actually fair. He feels like he's not a poker. He's not a spades guy. He's a poker beast.
Yeah.
Speaking of a man that I would like to talk to about cards and such, the man who walked in here looked like J.B. Smooth himself.
What's good,
Glenn
y'all?
Sterner.
What's good, fellas? What's happening?
Wait, what is happening with this hat that you got on right now?
Well, you know, I mean, I got a little, my bride's sister's in town, so we got a little free evening. And I said, hey, babe, won't you ease on in the city and let me take you to dinner?
Yeah.
And, so, you know, I had to put it together now.
You call your wife Lady Bird?
No. But you know, let me, because I'm going to slide this. I don't know if the folks on the deal can see, but I want you fellas to see it too. Now, you can't it ain't just a hat now, really.
Let's see.
He got the kicks on too.
It's putting on there. It's just suede on suede on
suede.
You know, we put it together. It's just a little something.
Yeah.
You know,
Nothing big, right? Just tossing it together.
Yeah, nothing big. Like we talked about yesterday on the show, man. Like, you can't just get married and just fall off, man. You got to stay the race and never know what I mean.
Respect it. Now I respect you. You stay ready.
I plan on my lady's mind being in the gutter on the ride home.
You know? Look at you. Okay. All right.
Speaking of, where is Figgy?
He's walking out.
Where is Figgy? I'm going to tell you what, Reg. You can't hide nothing because that damn text line got to you before I could. Y'all was talking about Figgy's little gathering, which, by the way, Figgy, damn it, have you a damn housewarming party?
That's what I'm saying.
I came in on the back end, on the, like, midway. Was it a housewarming party?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, have you a housewarming party.
Yeah.
Housewarming parties are great because the people that really don't give a damn about you, they ain't going to come. But the ones that do want to buy you a little something and show up, they're going to show up. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Reg can't hide nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there listening. I'm riding along. It was a nice little back and forth conversation.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
And the second that Fig said, yeah, my wife, you know, it's going to be a bunch of her friends over there. Red said, what did you say? I put it in my notes.
He took notes.
Hey, no, my man, I pulled my phone out immediately. My man said, let's pull up then.
Yeah.
hey, Ron, I don't know if you was listening, but he was just bebopping along. Yeah, I don't know if I want to have this party or not. And yeah, well, we'll show up. Go ahead and do it, Fig. Everybody show up. Hey, some of my wife's friends are going to be there. Well, let's pull up then.
That's right.
Reg,
he needs support.
He
needs boys around. He needs people around.
Hey,
to
Fig,
balance
have
it
that
out.
Damn party, man.
Yeah, man.
Reggie is locked and loaded, ain't he?
He didn't ask. J-Lo did it for him. Is there any Latinos? Any Latino friends coming?
Dropping that Spanish on him.
Hey, look here, Fig. I'm not telling you to do what the hell you want to do, but ain't nothing wrong with no housewarming party. Hell no.
Yeah, I'm not the party guy, though.
I don't want to bother nobody.
Yeah, you ain't bothering.
Hey, the ones that are showing up, you damn sure ain't bothering. The ones that don't show up, you ain't bothering either.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to send the invitation now. I'm going to send
There you go.
If I'm in the city, me and my bride will be there. Man. Now, we may bring two crumb snatchers with us, but we'll be there.
Reggie said, let's pull up.
make sure he's comfortable. Ryan, it's not just an event with your work friends.
Ron, you have to save him again.
Yeah, Ron's going to have to go.
Hey,
I'm
good. Hey, Reggie.
I'll be 100% okay.
Reggie said, can you create the guest list? And I'd like to get their name so I can go ahead and take a look.
Get them in memory.
Well, let me take a look at this. I'd like to get all their IGs and that could be included on their names on that guest list so we could take a look at what we got
tags.
Here.
Tags, yeah.
Said, let's pull up.
Hey, man.
I got a bottle of wine. I'm ready to bring.
That's right. Show off for your homeboy. That's what you do. That's 100% right. What you do.
And hope he had you in mind when the wife invited her friend.
Well, you know, that's also showing up for your homeboy.
Hey, that's right.
Win-win, huh?
Exactly.
That's right.
Everybody wins.
Is it a win-win situation?
And it sounds like the listeners want to pull up too. This might be a block party more than a housewarming party.
Hey, Fig, it don't matter. More show up, the more that wine fridge you guys going to be full for a year.
That's
baby.
Right. Okay. That's right. All right, we're done for right now. We'll go see if we can figure out what this housewarming party looks like. We leave you, man. I didn't get a chance to ask them about their spades plan, but I had a feeling
I'm the best spades player in this building.
Oh, okay. Tournament soon come.
Hey, no, hey, we can play Rise and Fly. We can go to 350. We can go to 500. I don't care. I don't talk a lot of trash.
You don't?
I don't talk a lot of trash.
Wait a minute.
I mean, not what I would have bet was coming out of his next voice.
I don't talk a lot of trash.
You don't.
I really don't.
Look at this ninja.
But I will in that one. Hey, Spades, I'm telling you. Now,
come on. My man looks like Bill Cartwright playing beer pong.
We might have to get a tournament.
He don't talk trash.
hey, just because I beat you. I beat you in 15 seconds before we got back to the break don't mean that. That's
yeah, well, I carried you when we beat our wife. But you didn't tell anybody about that.
First off,
we destroyed the women and I carried.
We did talk. Okay, is that what we're going to do now?
You admitted this. You admitted this.
Outside of the little wind factor. There's a little thin wind factor.
Yes. Yeah, more importantly, we destroyed the wives.
Wow.
They were mad at us for destroying them.
Wow, man. What happened to the team?
Right, man. That died.
Talked about our 1-on-1 battle.
Boy,
we had a 3-minute break. I beat you before the game.
Oh, you drugged me over the coals after my football throwing, after my failure in football.
I did not say you blew it for us. I just said you got to feel worse than I do. But I didn't say you blew it for us.
I can't wait to see what the spades tournament looks like. If this is the energy we got right. Guys, get up and running. You're listening to KILT AM, KILT FM, HD2 Houston and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, The Drive is live.